Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal? What? So I was sitting there. I was planning the show out. I don't know if I've gone over my daily routine, but my daily routine is fairly similar almost every day. I wake up somewhere in the ballpark between like 7 and 9 o'clock. So somewhere around there, I wake up. One of the great things about doing an afternoon radio show is, unlike when I did a bunch of morning radio shows and a lot of people who, you know, have real jobs that start at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, is I don't ever get woken up by an alarm. I wake up when I want to wake up, which I appreciate. But so I wake up whenever, and then I get to the gym, and then I work out, and I kind of all throughout the day, I watch ESPN, I listen to Robbie and Rex Road or Darren Donick and Chase. I just get a vibe of what everybody's talking about. You know, what are the big stories? I'll do some research on my own. What are people talking about? You know, that kind of stuff. Put the show together all throughout the day. I have a notepad in my phone that I keep up with it, and I just kind of say, okay, this time we're going to talk to this person. At that time, we're going to talk about this. You know, whatever. And get on with it, you know, around noon, make sure that I have everything figured out the way I want it, and then I send it into Ian around 1 o'clock. Now, today was all planned out about what we were going to talk about, and a lot of it was centered around J.J. Watt. In fact, I had even kind of talked to a member of J.J.'s team today. And it was funny, because it was like, you know, we'll have to see on the J.J. front. Oh, we saw Arizona Cardinals massive contract for J.J. Watt. And I think that everybody who listens to this show, I saw Joe Rexroad or somebody tweeting out about how, you know, Jared Stillman will be sobbing today about J.J. Watt and how upset he's going to be with J.J. And I was stunned when I saw the numbers for J.J. Watt. I mean, I'm like a lot of you all. I had a certain idea. We all know I wanted J.J. Watt to the Titans. But when I saw the kind of money that they were going to be paying J.J. Watt in Arizona, my initial reaction was, fine, go do it. Go knock yourself out. If you want that kind of money, which I'm not sitting here telling a man not to make money, you are totally allowed to make however much money you want. That is up to you. But if you're going to go to Arizona, we know the only reason you're going there is for the money. 2 years, $31 million, $23 million guaranteed. Now, I need to know what the signing bonus is, because that will tell you what the true reality of the contract is. Because there can be all kinds of funny money. We've always heard Floyd talk about how you can hide funny money here. You can say $23 million guaranteed, but is it guaranteed for cap, injury, and skill, which is important? You know, if it's not guaranteed for, if it's only guaranteed for injury and it's not guaranteed for cap and skill, then next year they can just cut JJ and all that quote unquote guaranteed money goes away. So 2 years, $31 million. So you're talking $15.5 million a year. And I want to know again what the signing bonus is, but $23 million guaranteed. Let's just take that on the surface. That basically the first year at 15 and a half or so is guaranteed, and the second year is partially guaranteed, but not totally. I would say good riddance to JJ. I told the story about during the pandemic when everything was shut down, which we're still in the pandemic, but during the beginning of it, when everything was shut down, I used to just walk outside, walk around Green Hills, and I'd see houses for sale, and I'd look at a house. And I would see, and I'd think to myself, is that house $600,000? Is that $800,000? It was almost like playing a game of The Price is Right. I would try to guess how much each house was, $800,000. Then I would pull it up in Google on my phone about how much the house is, $1.3 million. Okay, keep walking. Not that I was interested in buying a house. I see $31 million for J.J. Watt, $23 million of which at least seems to be real. And I think the Titans made the right decision. I think if the Titans were willing to offer J.J., if they were willing to offer J.J. the kind of money that J.J. ended up getting in Arizona, he probably signs with the Titans. Arizona is by no means a for sure thing. In fact, it's probably the exact opposite. They play in a really tough division. They play good quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson. And by the way, Russell will be the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Arizona, who knows about their coach? Who knows about their quarterback? They're probably a so-so team. They're a little bit better with J.J. Watt. But I mean, I don't think this was choosing Arizona over the Titans. I think this was choosing the money. And that's fine. Everybody is entitled to play for whatever they want to play for. I just thought that J.J. wanted to win a championship. Because that's what everybody was telling me. That's what everybody was telling the insiders on ESPN. That's what everybody was saying was, hey, J.J. has made a lot of money. J.J. has made more money off the field than any player in the NFL who doesn't play quarterback. All J.J. wants to do is he just wants to win a championship. That's what we were told when J.J. was released by the Texans. In fact, and the Texans were never going to pay him $17.5 million, but the Texans released J.J. Watt because they knew nobody was going to trade for 1 year at $17.5 million. But everybody made it out to be, hey, J.J. went to the Texans, he saw they were a dumpster fire, so he asked for his release, and he got his release. That's not what happened. At least that's not what I've been told was what happened. They wanted to make it look good with J.J. It's bad enough that it looks bad with Deshaun Watson. They wanted to make it look good. Nobody wants him. We can't pay him. There's no dead money. Instead of outright releasing the greatest player in the history of our franchise, let's make it look like he's getting his way. And that's fine. So J.J. gets released. And then we are told it is all about winning a title with J.J. Okay. Then he signs with Arizona. Like, again, you can do whatever you want to do in your life. You can go for the money. Jim Rome, longtime radio host. I mean, at the top of his game when he was at ESPN and when he was kind of at Fox. Does anybody listen to Jim Rome anymore? He makes a gazillion dollars a year hosting radio for CBS Sports Radio for about 10 stations across the country with about 13 listeners. I don't know how many listeners he has, but I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, nobody ever talks about Jim Rome. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everybody was talking about Jim Rome. But I'm sure Jim Rome's got the money. I thought J.J. was about winning a title. Tom Pelissero on NFL Network lays out exactly what every team in the NFL was told when they called J.J.
Ian, there were a ton of teams that inquired about J.J. Watt after his release from the Houston Texans, and they were told, if you want to get in on this, it's going to take at least $14 million per year. There were some teams that believed that that was a bluff, that at this age, given J.J. Watt's injury history, he was not going to command that much on the open market. But certainly you can see the way the league valued J.J. Watt, the way the Arizona Cardinals valued J.J. Watt, the fact they're giving him a two-year $31 million deal with $23 million guaranteed. They're taking a shot here.
So they're looking at J.J. saying, hey, we're going to pay you all this money. If I'm the Tennessee Titans, if John Robinson picked up the phone and he called Tom Condon, and he said he did, so I'm going to take him at his word. He calls Tom Condon, and Tom Condon starts off with that, what we just heard from Tom Pelissero. J.J. is not going to be able to fit here. Winning a championship, you're going to have to sacrifice. So I am disappointed. I mean, I know, and TD's going to come on later this hour because I got to take a look at TD's free agent board at the pass rushing position. I know Carl Lawson is up there. I know Hendrickson in New Orleans is up there. I know Romeo Okwara is up there. I thought J.J. was going to be a Tennessee Titan because I thought J.J. Watt wanted to win a championship. Like, I mean, I thought he legitimately wanted to win a championship. Not this thing of, you know, one day I'd like to be president of the United States. Not that. But like, hey, I've made my money. I want to go to a team who has a shot. Now, I thought that it would be too obvious if he went to Kansas City or Tampa Bay that he wouldn't get kind of the love of winning a title if he won one there. But I would have expected that over signing with Arizona. But once you find out, hey, J.J. actually is, teams are actually willing to pay J.J. some money, and J.J. wants the money, then it was never going to be Tennessee. I just didn't think that's how he was going to react. Now, defensive scheme fit, I don't know his fit with Arizona. I believe their defensive coordinator was at one point the defensive coordinator in Houston. So maybe that's a wash with the idea of him coming here with Mike Vrabel. But he's going to Arizona to team up with Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, and go against Russell Wilson, who will be the quarterback of the Seahawks, Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. Oh, and a 49er team, by the way, that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I don't have any good feeling about them being in the playoffs. So, at the end of the day, with the money being what it was, and I don't know what the Titans were willing to offer, I don't even know if it got that far. You know, if you pick up the phone and they're saying, hey, $15.5 million, click. But the Titans made the right decision. Today, I am not mad at the Titans. And honestly, I'm not mad at J.J. Watt either. I mean, I am disappointed. Don't get me wrong. You all know how much I wanted J.J. Watt to the Titans. I've only been talking about it for 2 weeks. I mean, I want J.J. Watt. I went on News 2 with Corey Curtis and spent 5 minutes talking about how much I wanted J.J. Watt to the Titans. Even if Carl Lawson is a better player, Romeo Okwara is a better player, even if they were to sign that kind of player, I'm going to miss the idea that I had in my head of the leadership angle J.J. Watt would provide the Titans. That is, in a defensive meeting room with all the pass rushers where Harold Landry can learn from J.J. Watt. And if they were to draft Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia or Jalen Phillips or Gregory Rousseau out of Miami or, Carlos Basham out of Wake Forest, if they were to use a first-round pick on a pass rusher, I love the idea of the first-round pick being around J.J. Watt, Harold Landry being around J.J. Watt, getting to learn from him. I love the idea of the whole defense and the leadership he would have brought that defense that did not replace what they lost when Logan Ryan and Jarrell Casey and, to a lesser extent, Wesley Woodyard walked out the door after 2019. But I can't pay him that much money. He's just not worth that much money. And my gut is telling me that no team that we legitimately consider a title contender, and you can throw Tennessee in there or out of there, whatever you want to do. I consider the Titans a title contender. There is no doubt that Tennessee wasn't willing to pay that. Green Bay wasn't willing to pay that. Buffalo wasn't willing to pay that. I'm going to guess Baltimore probably wasn't willing to pay that. And at the end of the day, J.J. took the money. So when he doesn't win a title and he retires in 3 or 4 years and people say he never won a title, well, we can look back to this decision and say, hey, you chose Arizona. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phones are down, but our text line is up. So if you've got a thought on the big news today, 615-737-1025 for your texts, and we will get to that. So we have got an absolutely loaded show today. But coming up next, the one thing about this that you will not convince me, people might say it. They probably won't say it around here, but I think it will be a narrative that is spun. Starting tomorrow morning at about 7 Central when Get Up comes on ESPN, there is going to be a narrative about that is spun, about this decision. And I absolutely am not buying it. That's next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Ian, where'd this one come from? Of all the teams we threw out there and said, well, maybe this one makes sense. The Steelers, his brother is there, the Browns, the Bills. It's the Cardinals.
Surprise. Peloton Twitter was nowhere as far as breaking the story. Instead, J.J. Watt announces himself, a picture of himself lifting weights, what else, in an Arizona Cardinals t-shirt. Yes, he is signing with the Cardinals, a massive deal for really one of the more up-and-coming teams in the NFL. Watt is getting a 2-year deal worth $31 million, so more than $15 million a year, probably more than most people imagined he would make. $23 million guaranteed, as you mentioned.
That was Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. And again, those are the numbers we're being told on J.J. Watt. But what's that guarantee mean? What's that? What's the signing bonus? I mean, there are a lot of ways. Is it guaranteed for cap? Is it guaranteed for injury? Is it guaranteed for skill? You know, I used to hate this. I feel so bad because now I'm talking about something I used to hate. But obviously, when the GM did this show, every time we'd get a number like that, I'd react to, whoa, my goodness, $23 million guaranteed for J.J. Watt, $31 million. And Floyd would talk about, what's the definition of the guarantee? What's the signing bonus? Is it cap? Is it injury? Is it skill? And now here I am doing this thing that used to drive me crazy, because I used to be like, I just react to it. And now here I am doing the same thing. So there is one thing, and I will get to your phones in a second on this, and I'm not mad at the Titans today. I mean, I am not. I do not look at the Titans and say, hey, you weren't willing to play in Arizona's ballpark. That's a good thing. I'm not willing to play in Arizona's ballpark at $15.5 million a year for J.J. Watt. And it sounds like everything we're told. It sounds like that's what was important to him was the money. If the winning was important, and then the making it look good was important, you know, if we want to make the contract look good, I'm sure John Robinson could have done that. But if we're trying to sit back and ask ourselves, okay, what's your number one priority? Clearly the money was a big priority to J.J. Watt. Now, the one thing, this is a narrative that is going to come out, and it will be all over TV, I would assume tonight, if it's not already there now. I would assume it'll be there tonight, but it will definitely be discussed tomorrow. And that is Arizona's ability to compete now that they have J.J. Watt. Remember when Tom Brady went to Tampa? This time last year, nobody was talking about Tampa as a realistic option for Brady. It was Tennessee. It was, okay, he's probably going to go back to the Patriots, but if he doesn't, he's going to go to Tennessee, because they were just in the AFC Championship game. And then they threw out the Raiders, and it was, oh, could he go to the Raiders? Would he go? I don't know. The Chargers, you know, he's from California. They need a quarterback. They got some star players. Then he signs with Tampa. And then it was like, oh, well, you know, Tampa's got some good wide receivers. You know, Tampa's got an okay team. I mean, Tampa's got... Tomorrow, that's what it's going to be about Arizona. Is, hey, they've got Kyler Murray, they've got DeAndre Hopkins, they've got Chandler Jones coming back from injury. Chandler Jones, who, by the way, is a cut candidate. They've got Chandler Jones coming back from injury. Arizona, J.J., he can make them a title contender. J.J. Watt, he can come in right away. I am not buying it. Arizona is a bum franchise. Arizona has a bum head coach. Cliff Kingsbury should never have been hired for that job. And I understand why they hired Cliff Kingsbury for the job, but I never would have hired him for that job. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Like, what, you're going to hire him for that job? The guy got fired in college as the head coach of a team that had Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. You can't lose in the NFL with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. He lost in college with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. He's a bum coach until he proves otherwise. They drafted a first rounder last year, picked very highly Isaiah Simmons, has not performed. They drafted Kyler Murray over Nick Bosa, who led a defensive line that carried San Francisco to the Super Bowl. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is a pretty good player. I ain't going to take anything away from DeAndre. DeAndre can ball. But that is a bum team. Ian, help me out here. Let's go through each of their wins last year, and you tell me good or bad when I list the team that Arizona beat. I am not going to be convinced Arizona is a good team. I don't like their coach. I don't like their quarterback. Let's just do it. You ready?
Ready.
San Francisco.
Not very good.
Washington.
Not very good.
The Jets.
Terrible.
Dallas.
Not good. With or without Dak?
Without.
Okay, yeah, not good.
Seattle.
They're good.
That is a good win. I mean, that's good. Buffalo on the Hail Mary.
Well, I mean, it was a Hail Mary, but they're a good team.
Win. I mean, that's a good team. The Giants?
Nah.
The Eagles?
Nah.
Okay, when they had to have it at the end of the year, they didn't beat the 49ers, they didn't beat the Rams. They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Dolphins. They lost to the Lions. You are not going to convince me. I'm telling you, you are not going to convince me that J.J. Watt makes that team that much better. That a team that, again, they were a lucky, in my opinion, a lucky 8-8 this past season. And by the way, guess who they play next year? While we can sit there and look at, because anyone who played the NFC East this year is going to have a step up and the quality of teams that they play this upcoming season. They play the Titans. They play the Colts. Now, they should get two wins over Jacksonville, and they should get a win over Houston. And maybe that's what J.J. wanted, was to play one game against Houston. But that Arizona Cardinal team is so far away from being a Super Bowl contender that I can't take J.J. Watt seriously when you tell me he wants to win a title, and then he signs a contract with Arizona. And as I have said multiple times already today, I am not going to dog you for taking the most money. That is a personal decision. I have always said this. I am not going to count another man's money for him. So when a player decides to do something and you say, well, he's got all the money in the world. Hey, I'm not counting his money. And I am not counting J.J. Watt's money. But you cannot tell me on one hand that you want to win a championship, have half the league calling you, and then sign with the loser Arizona Cardinals. Now, I think some people would say people looked at Tampa Bay as if they were a loser organization before Tom Brady got there. And they were a loser organization. And let's not kid ourselves, when Brady either falls off the cliff or leaves Tampa Bay, they are going to revert back to a loser organization. That's what they are. But the difference is, one, Tom Brady is a quarterback and J.J. Watt isn't, which is why quarterbacks make $30 million a year and pass rushers make 15. The second thing is, their coach in Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, it feels like has a clue. I have yet to see any evidence that makes me think Cliff Kingsbury's a good coach. The best thing you can say about his coaching career, because people will talk about the fact that he was, you know, Brady's backup in New England. I think he was like a third stringer, honestly, but people will bring that up and say, hey, you know, he's off the Belichick tree a little bit. He's worked with Brady. He's friends with McVay. He's got that new, you know, wild offense or whatever. But the best thing you can say about his coaching career is that he was the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M when Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. That is it. That is it. Kyler Murray is not tall enough, in my opinion, to be a quarterback in this league. He does not throw the ball well enough to be a quarterback in this league. What they should have done is they should have flip-flopped Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson should have been the number one pick in the draft. Kyler should have been at the end of the first round. Because Lamar is better than Kyler. And he does everything that Kyler is supposed to. He does it better. And if you gave Lamar DeAndre Hopkins, watch out. I am not a Kyler believer. And last year, you know, Kyler had an okay rookie year. He won the Rookie of the Year award from A.J. Brown, which I thought was ridiculous. But he had an okay rookie year. Second year, they start off the season winning some games. They beat San Francisco. They beat Washington. They won three in a row. At one point, they were 5-2. Heading into November, they were 5-2. And I thought, man, was I wrong about Kyler Murray? Was I off on Kyler Murray? And then I watched some of their games the rest of the year. No, I was not. Kyler doesn't throw the ball well. Kyler does not throw it well enough. He's like a video game quarterback. But he's not Lamar. So you cannot convince me this was anything more than a cash grab on the front end of J.J. Watt. Which, if that's what this is going to be about. See, I thought he was going to use the money, like this kind of money. I thought he was going to use that money to take a team like the Titans and say, hey, I know you want to pay me $10 million, but pay me $12 because they're going to pay me $15.5 million. Not, I'm actually going to take that money. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So where do the Titans go from here? We'll get into that. TD will join us with, hey, where do we turn our attention to now that J.J. Watt is off the board? And, of course, I got all your reaction right here in the text line. Again, our phones are down. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, is delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell the fine folks out there that ESPN 1025 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. Who doesn't love free beer? Tune in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House, which is located at the Opry Mills Mall. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Listen, J.J. Watt has spent the last couple of weeks talking to teams. He had interest from the Buffalo Bills. He had interest in the Cleveland Browns. Had some interest from the Indianapolis Colts. But ultimately, the Arizona Cardinals stepped up to the highest level here. And he decided to go to a team and follow the same path that one DeAndre Hopkins went. So now it's become the Arizona Texans out there in the desert with DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt playing out in Arizona, and he gets to play there with Chandler Jones.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of winning. DeAndre Hopkins, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt. Oh, let's give Arizona some Sunday night football games now. Let's put them all over TV. You cannot convince me that that team's going to win any games. Coy in Clarksville texted the text line, which is delivered by TriStar or driven by is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville says, happy the Cardinals paid 2 years, $31 million for a guy who will be hurt by week six. Too much money for the Titans. I'm not going to be one of these guys that all of a sudden is going to sit there and pretend like I didn't want J.J. Watt. Or pretend like I didn't think that J.J. Watt had something to offer the Titans. I mean, J.J. Watt legitimately, I mean, he was my number one guy on the free agent board. I've told you, I don't really have a ton of interest in bringing Corey Davis back anyways. But I definitely, if I had $11 million to spend, and it was $11 million for Corey, or it was $11 million for J.J., I would have given the $11 million to J.J. Watt. I think J.J. Watt can still rush the passer. I think J.J. Watt can still make impact plays. Not on every snap like he used to. But, I mean, J.J. Watt can still play ball. I mean, he is still a good player. But I don't think he's a $15 million player. And the health was always going to be a concern. I never shied away from that. To me, the problem with Clowney is that Clowney was an injury concern, just like J.J. is an injury concern. But Clowney has no production. In fact, his entire career is of him not being productive. Productive. That wasn't the problem with J.J. I mean, it would have been a gamble on J.J. Watt. And if he gets hurt, there will be a lot of people. I saw Joe Rexroad tweet out, hey, the Titans dodged a bullet. I'm not convinced of that. I am not convinced they dodged a bullet by not getting J.J. Watt. I'm not convinced J.J. Watt won't be a good player in Arizona. I think he'll get some sacks. But at the same time, I cannot pay that kind of money to him. You just can't. Because the risk factor is there. And you are where your team is in the salary cap. Maybe if you hadn't signed Clowney, then you'd be able to sign J.J., but you should not extend yourself. If the Predators are an example of anything, you should not extend yourself to make somebody fit into something that he's not. And an every down elite pass rusher at $15.5 million is not what J.J. Watt is currently worth. Chris in Nashville says, Jared, based on Watt's contract, what would you expect from a production standpoint for that money? So this is a really interesting question, and it's interesting for me for one really important reason that's not J.J. Watt, and it's Shaq Barrett. Because Shaq Barrett last year played on the franchise tag, he made $15.5 million. Shaq Barrett only had 8 sacks last year. He had 4 in the playoffs and was an absolute wrecking ball. But Shaq Barrett, I think, had something like 19 sacks 2 years ago. Shaq then gets franchise tagged, and I think he was unsure of whether or not he was going to play on the tag. Then they signed Tom Brady. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And Shaq Barrett only had 8 sacks. And somebody brought up to me, they said, hey, if you sign Shaq Barrett and you pay Shaq Barrett all that money, which is going to be about $16 million a year. I thought Shaq Barrett was going to be about $15 million a year. Go ahead and raise that up a little bit. Now, you should be able to get a good deal done with Shaq because you can give him a bunch of signing bonus. And so he'll take less. I still think Tampa Bay is going to find a way to keep Shaq Barrett. But if you sign Shaq Barrett at $16, $17 million a year, and he comes in here and he has 8 sacks, how's everybody going to feel? And that's an interesting point. I mean, you pay Matt Duchene all that money, the guy never scores, it's a problem. You pay Cali Yarncroke $2 million, plays on the fourth line, scores a couple of goals every here or there, no one ever cares about. No one complains about Cali Yarncroke. So the production that you would expect out of J.J., I guess I would put it at 10 sacks. At $15.5 million? I mean, and again, not to sit there and go against everything that I said with Clowney, J.J. Watt's impact is going to be bigger than just the sacks, you know, what he does for your whole defense. Chandler Jones is on the other side. I mean, there is every play. Like when the Titans played JJ in October and they threw five screens in the opposite direction. I mean, is that what we're looking at in Arizona? But I would say 10 sacks. And if he gets 10 sacks, then I think that that's probably what you could expect out of him for that kind of money. And if JJ gets eight and they're good, which I've told you, I don't think Arizona is going to be good. But if they get eight and they're good, then you can convince me that that's okay. JJ gets three sacks this year. It's an unmitigated disaster for the amount of money they gave him. Texter says the Titans were certainly not sure to contend for a title even with JJ. There are still so many other needs, especially what considering what they could lose in free agency. I would argue that the Titans are really not as far away as people make it out to be. And maybe I'm, you know, a local Bobo over here sitting there, you know, go team, my team title, whatever, this, that, the other. The Titans have good players. I mean, the Titans have some good players. Now, that doesn't mean the Titans don't have their issues. Pass rushing, linebacker, tight end right now is a little bit of an issue. But when you look at every premium position on the roster outside of pass rusher, they've got a quarterback I think you feel good with. They got a running back you feel good with. They got a left tackle you feel good with. They've got corners right now, at least two, because either Jackson or Butler's going to stay. I mean, they got corners that you probably feel a little good with. I mean, the Titans are not as far away as people make it out to be. To me, it's now about the quality of the player they bring in, not really the quantity of the player they bring in. So while I look at a guy like Corey Davis, and everybody wants Corey Davis to come back because, hey, if you pay Corey $10 million, you'll get more of an impact with Corey than you would, say, Marvin Jones Jr. at $6 million. But I don't think the difference between a Marvin Jones Jr. and a Corey Davis, I don't think that that's really going to be what decides whether or not you win a title. If you draft Javon Kearse with the 22nd pick in this year's draft, that's going to be what decides whether or not you win a title. Those are the kind of players. Carl Lawson from the Bengals. Now, he's going to be expensive too. Again, if the number is 15.5 for JJ, the number's going to be 15.5 probably for Carl Lawson. It's going to be 16, 17 for Shaq. It may not be 15.5 for Carl Lawson, but it's going to be a lot. But if he is the man that you sign, and it's like, oh, you know what? Maybe Cincinnati just is awful. And Carl Lawson comes here. That is a difference maker. Stephon Diggs to Buffalo. Remember all the picks Buffalo gave up for Diggs? And it was like, whoa, that's a lot of picks. And remember how often a lot of us looked at Diggs in Minnesota? And we said, you know, is it Diggs? Because Diggs used to not like Kirk Cousins. And Diggs used to Diggs used to really, you know, take shots at the offense and not getting the ball. And it looked like a diva receiver who didn't have the skins on the wall to be able to act like one. And then he got to Buffalo, and it was like, you know what? Maybe Kirk Cousins is not very good. Maybe the Minnesota offense is really bad. I mean, here he is just lighting it up with Buffalo. Here's Justin Jefferson screaming at Kirk Cousins for not throwing the ball on time. Like, maybe Stephon Diggs had a point, because as soon as he got to Buffalo, he elevated the entire roster. And that's the kind of player that I feel like if the Titans were to add that kind of impact player, either through the draft or via free agency, that's what carries you into legitimate title contenders. That's what carries you into a matchup with Kansas City. Not whether or not they have a third tight end, and whether it's Michael Pruitt or Jeff Swaim. Brad says, Stillman, you are way out of bounds dragging Jim Rome into this discussion. Take it back. I actually said that in reference to the fact that, hey, Jim Rome got the money at CBS, and nobody has ever heard from him since. Jim Rome is on CBS Sports Radio. I mean, Ian, do you remember when Jim Rome used to be plastered all over ESPN?
I don't know if I do remember that. I remember him being really big, and he got into that fight with somebody. But no, I don't know if I really remember that.
I just remember Jim Rome talk radio. It's like every city had Jim Rome, and you knew where it was. Now, I know that a lot of cities have gone all local all day like we have, and have forced other people to go all local all day. But But I mean, Jim Rome, he used to be on every city. And I would ask yourself this. If you're a big sports fan, you remember Jim Rome. Ask yourself, when's the last time you thought of Jim Rome? When's the last time you heard Jim Rome? When's the last time anybody talked about Jim Rome? I tuned in the other day. I had to like find on the TuneIn radio app a CBS sports radio station that was playing Jim Rome. There was like two. And I found it and I clicked it. And he was talking to Porter Mosier, the basketball coach at Loyola Chicago. Like, who cares? Dude's got a national audience. Wow, man, that was really fantastic. Phenomenal. Porter Mosier, oh, great coach, great coach. Guy emails in, Romy, you crazy. Like, I mean, I'm not here to criticize. Guy's made way more money in this than I'll probably ever make. But it just wasn't for me. And I don't hear anybody talking about Jim Rome anymore. Colin Cowherd says something stupid, everybody's talking about it. Jim Rome says something nobody ever hears. 615-737-1025, more of your text. Teron Davenport, where do the Titans go from here now that people like me know they're out on the J.J. Watt sweepstakes? That is next. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal. The amount of money for J.J. Watt, $15.5 million a year. Although, again, we don't know how much is funny money, how much isn't funny money. Even with the guaranteed money, the GM would always throw the asterisk up, the stop sign of, you know, what's it guaranteed for? Is it fully guaranteed? Is it cap? Is it injury? Is it skill? So we don't know exactly how much money J.J. is getting paid. We don't know how the signing bonus will break everything down. We don't know the cap number. But again, $15.5 million a year, I'm not paying J.J. Watt at this point in his career for that. And even though I'm not completely heartbroken the Titans didn't sign J.J. Watt, I am certainly a little heartbroken that they haven't signed J.J. Watt. And I did put a lot of my emotional eggs in the J.J. Watt basket. So when I saw J.J. sign at Arizona, I texted Teron Davenport. I said, TD, I know it's not Thursday. I got to have you on the show because I know you are completely prepared for the Titans to live life without J.J. Watt, even more so than that. So it's like I almost need a little pep talk here or a little cheering up with the idea of who else is out there for the Titans. Again, I know you weren't as sold on the Titans signing J.J. as I was. But what kind of, how does the market look now that he's off?
Yeah, I think the market still looks spectacular. It's not like Christmas needs to be canceled or anything like that. It's still a good looking option for the Titans to add pass rushers or even just edge guys overall. And I think when you look at Romeo Okwara, he's definitely a guy that, you know, should be considered. And I've mentioned Carl Lawson. And I think these guys will come in at a pretty reasonable deal, right? If you go back and you look at what Shaq Lawson signed with the Dolphins last year, $30 million over 3 years. I think a four-year, $40 million deal is reasonable for Carl Lawson, who had a similar type of path, with the exception of being a first-round pick. And Okwara, you know, 3 years, 35 and somewhere in that ballpark, I think is reasonable. He's coming off a 10-sack season. So those are guys. I think what you still have to look at is comboing it with one of the guys in the upper echelon group of edge guys and then doubling down and getting whether it's a Ryan Kerrigan, who's a perfect consolation prize for not getting J.J. Watt. I think you're getting a very similar player there. Justin Houston is another one. I mean, there are other guys that they could add just as a compliment to the major guy that they signed, even Marcus Golden, who I've mentioned multiple times.
TD, how do you think the J.J. Watt contract affects the whole market? Because one of the names I kept throwing out there was, hey, you know, if you're going to go all in, and I think Shaq Barrett ultimately stays in Tampa Bay, but they can't franchise him and Chris Godwin. And so it's like, okay, if Shaq Barrett is going to get top of the market money, how much money is that? And I thought, you know, maybe 16 for Barrett. Now I see 15 and a half for JJ. I'm thinking if I'm Barrett, I probably want 17 and a half million. Is this going to affect the whole market as far as Lawson or Hendrickson in New Orleans is concerned? Or to your point, Romeo Okwara? I mean, is this going to work its way all the way down and maybe affect the market? Or is this somewhat of an isolated deal?
I don't think it's really going to affect the market. I think it's really something that you look at from a perspective of name recognition and knowing kind of what you're getting. And I think with the Cardinals, that situation was this. They're not a contender. So they had to pay a little bit more to get a guy who was supposedly focused on going to a contender. And I think that's how that situation really has panned out. I think, you know, guys like Bud Dupree, Yannick Ngakoue, they're going to approach $15 million. And I'm not sure that I would suggest the Titans do that, to be honest with you. But I don't really think it has made the prices just kind of go up over the top free agent-wise.
Teron Davenport is our guest. You hit on something I said earlier this hour, which is Arizona. Like, you know, it's one thing when J.J. and it, to the credit of all the reporting that was done for the most part, Diana Russini talked about big money last week from ESPN. Ian Rappaport last week, NFL Network, talked about big money. Mary Kay Cabot talked about big money. So it wasn't like it wasn't reported that J.J. didn't want money. But it was initially reported J.J. wants a championship. He wants to be on a team right. That can compete for a championship. Then I see Arizona Cardinals, and I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, whatever. I got this feeling that they threw out the $15.5 million number that Diana Russini put out last week as kind of a call to these teams that was, hey, Buffalo, hey, Tennessee, hey, Green Bay, hey, if you want me to play for you, just know that a bad team is asking me to well, and Arizona's not bad, but, you know, they're asking me, they're offering me this, and it still seems like J.J. picked the money in the end. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think he picked the money. I think it's pretty clear. But you also have to look at familiarity as far as the scheme. You know, he's done well under Vance Joseph before. So it's not like, you know, he's going to a brand new situation. That's familiarity is something that I said earlier today really made the Titans a contender. And I think it's just the same for the Cardinals as far as a contender for J.J. Watt. So it's more than just money, in my opinion.
If you could go with two guys, because that is something that you have always talked about all free agency long or all offseason long, is two guys and probably a pick. In a perfect world for the Titans, if it were TD's Christmas morning, or if you were Santa Claus and the Titans were sitting by the tree, what would be there on Christmas Day, a.k.a. free agency, in about a week and a half?
Yeah, I would dig into my sack and pull out Carl Lawson, and then I would double it down with Marcus Golden. That's really how I would do it. I would have both of those guys, and then I would draft a really solid fastball type of player off the edge that could do everything, like Aziz Ojulari or even Jalen Phillips.
I read something earlier, Teron Davenport's our guest, or I saw something earlier today where they were asking the question on television, is Mac Jones at Alabama the next Justin Herbert? And I'm not totally sure that's fair, but the one thing that it did put into my head was the idea that, you know, we read the draft boards and the mock drafts and we watch everybody break it down. Now, you watch the film more than anybody that I know. And I look at some of this and I'm like, you know, quarterback at this level is such an inexact science that, I mean, we had people that swore up and down Tua was 100 times better than Herbert. Then we saw how they played this season. It doesn't mean Herbert's going to have a better career. But I was thinking about the 2018 draft and how, you know, Baker went number one. And then Sam Darnold, he might be out in New York. And Lamar Jackson went all the way at 32. And there's all these quarterbacks this year. And I was thinking to myself, you know, let's go back to the 2018 draft. If the Titans are sitting there and there's a quarterback there's going to be five quarterbacks probably go in the first round this year, and there's a quarterback sitting there. Would it be crazy if the Titans thought that that quarterback sitting there was as good as a Lamar Jackson or as good as a Derek Carr when he went in the second round of the Raiders in 2014? Like, if they rate a quarterback really highly, maybe it's Kyle Trask, and he's sitting there on the board at 22. Is it crazy if the Titans were to consider it if they really liked him?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts to consider that because Ryan Tannehill is clearly the guy, and he hasn't shown any signs of wearing down or anything like that. I think, you know, you're going to get another at least 2 years out of Tannehill. And at this point right now, you really have to look at adding players that are going to help that team right now. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to look at. And Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, no, they're not going to help the team right now. They have a very solid core of players that are capable of winning now, and you have to complement that with draft picks. So absolutely not. I would – now, if somehow Zach Wilson or Justin Fields are on the board there, yeah, I might look at it, but I'm still going to be like, nah, we need to help this team right now.
I totally agree and understand. I just I keep putting myself like in Robinson's shoes, and I keep thinking back to Lamar Jackson sitting there at 32, you know, a couple of years ago. And it's like, man, you know, if you were to redraft it today, Lamar Jackson might go number one, you know, in, yeah, that, in that, with that group. And you're saying, okay, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen number one. And I think Allen was the third or fourth quarterback off the board, and Lamar was the fifth quarterback off the board. And if you've got a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, but I totally agree with you, the win now thing. I just wonder if the Titans would look at free agency, because I'm with you. I think first round pass rusher for sure. But do you want to pin yourself in that position if you're Robinson, or do you want to go out and sign at least two guys this year so you don't feel like you have to reach at 22 for a pass rusher if a guy you like isn't there?
Well, that's the thing. You never draft for need, right? You never just draft, okay, well, I need a pass rusher. I don't care what's on the board. I'm drafting a pass rusher. You always look at it horizontally. But if you look at just the way things are likely to fall, you're going to probably have your choice of Jalen Phillips or Gregory Rousseau, Azeez Ojulari, Kwity Paye, who some people – I'm not huge on Kwity Paye, but, I mean, he could come in and help out. You know, you're going to have your choice of guys that are legitimate options to help your team right now and that are commensurate with that draft pick at 22. So I think – you know, looking at that and looking at the board horizontally, I think it's still the best decision for them to, you know, grab an edge rusher just with that selection of guys being available.
TD, Teron Davenport, as always, joining us on the program. TD, appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on short notice today and giving me some names, giving me some hope now that J.J. Watt is not going to be a member of the Titans.
Yeah, and I hope I gave you more than names. I hope I gave you reasons as well.
Well, you've always been given the reasons. Now, whether or not I've been taking the reasons, it's kind of like a child. You know, hey, I've been giving, you know, you've been giving me the lessons. The question is whether or not I'm actually applying them in real life, which I now understand. I think you maybe now understand how my father probably felt when I was growing up in that regard. As always, TD, we'll see you later. And, of course, Talking with TD drops this week as well.
All right. Appreciate you.
Yep. Teron Davenport joining us on the program. I feel a little bit better now that J.J. Watt's not coming to the Titans. I, you know what made me feel good in that whole talk with TD was the fact that he is on the same page with me as far as the Arizona Cardinals are concerned. I am not going to count another man's money. I have said this time and time again. NHL player signed somewhere takes less. NHL player takes full money. You know, it'd be really nice if Roman Josi had gone up to the Predators and had said, you know what? I've already made some money. I'm going to make a lot of money. How about instead of taking $9 million, I take $5 million? Like, that would have been really, really nice and very helpful to the roster. But I'm also not going to expect Roman Josi to do something crazy like that, because that is what that would be. And I am not going to count another man's money. I'm not going to do that. And unless they make it about, you know, the wife, I'm not going to talk about the wife. I'm not going to, like, a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, there was, you know, the supermarket tabloids were talking about Mike Fisher and Carrie Underwood breaking up. Like, I'm not talking about that on the radio. It also happened to clearly be not true. But I'm not talking about that on the radio. They do that in other places, but not here. But, so I can't judge JJ for how he decided to go pick his team based on the money. But, like, Arizona? Arizona, one of the most irrelevant teams that isn't awful in the NFL? I can't do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Now, there is one really respected voice who we almost never get to play his clips on the air, but now we can. Or at least we can play one of them. Who did say, hey, there's a chance that JJ is pretty good. And he would know. And coming up next, where the one thing where we could be wrong on all of this, because I think a lot of us look at the money and say, Titans can't do that. There is a possibility that we're wrong. We'll get to that coming up next. How would you like to watch the Preds game in style? Tune in later on in the show as we will reveal the keyword for you to text into the game text line, 615-737-1025, for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Must be 21 or older to enter. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.